Well, welcome everybody to Watermark this morning. My name is Bron Brown. I'm Director of Student Ministries here. And I wanted to ask you a question this morning. How many of you guys are deep sleepers? How many would you say, man, when I sleep, it is hard to wake me up? Okay, well, I used to be that way until I had kids. And then every little cry that I hear, or every little sound that I hear, will wake me up. But I want to talk this morning a little bit about some issues in my own family that we are, for many years, we were deep sleepers. And in fact, a sign that you might be a deep sleeper is if you are someone who walks in your sleep. Has anybody ever done that? You walk around? Okay, it's good for you to admit that this morning. It's good. If you're someone who talks in your sleep, okay, I'm that guy. Okay, I'll talk in my sleep. My wife and I have some of our best conversations while we're sleeping. In fact, my wife and I both are deep sleepers, and I will never forget one night when Angie was having a nightmare. Whenever we go to another place, if we're at a lake house or if we're at a, when we worked at Kanakuk, we were out there in these cabins, and anytime we were away from home, she would have these nightmares. And I'll never forget one time in the middle of the night, her sitting up in bed, and this blood-curdling scream comes from her. And me being the loving, man that I am, I reached out and I remember wrapping my arms around her and I said, honey, it's okay. You're just having a dream. And out of nowhere came a flying right elbow, whoosh, right in my nose. Okay? About knocked me out. And I played college basketball. I know what it's like to have your nose broken. There's a 6'7" guy when I was in college that laid me out one time. She hit me as hard as she could with an elbow in the nose. And I'm sure she was asleep, right? Right? And it about knocked me out. Well, that isn't the only time that we've done some great communicating in our sleep. There's other times when I have been in the middle of a dream, and one night she tells me this is what I did. I was crawling around in the bed on all fours looking for something. No one else has done that here? And I was crawling around, and I remember looking around. I'm totally asleep, and she goes, Bron, what are you doing? And this is what I said to her. Shh, there's dog poop in the bed. I don't know where that came. We don't have a dog. I wasn't like scooping dog poop for my neighbor all week and it was just in my mind. I don't know where it comes from. Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. One of my sons is a real deep sleeper, and when he has to use the restroom at night, he'll get up and he gets in this kind of a walk. It's kind of like this. Okay? And he's walking and I know he is heading for the bathroom, but a lot of times, like even last night, we had a babysitter, and he was heading towards the kitchen. And they said, hey, Braden, what are you doing? He said, I'm just going to the bathroom. Okay, he's asleep, heading in there. And so we've suffered the consequences of him thinking that he was at the bathroom when he was in the kitchen or in bathroom cabinets or that kind of thing. So we are deep sleepers. Well, one night, not too long ago, we were awakened by a loud cracking sound in the back of our house. It was about 5:45 in the morning, and this sound woke me up. And someone was breaking into our house. And we were there asleep, and boy, when I heard this loud cracking noise, I jumped out of bed, and I went to the front of the house to see what had happened. And my first thought was one of my boys had fallen out of bed because I heard the wood crack. And I thought, well, he's fallen out of the top bunk. And I raced in there to see what was going on. And he was fine. They were sound asleep. And I went and checked my youngest son in his room, and he was sound asleep. And I looked around a little bit towards the front of the house where I thought the noise had come from. And I couldn't see anything wrong. So I went back to bed. And a little bit later on, I got up and I was preparing my son Easton's bottle at that time. He was a really young kid. And I remember looking out the back of our kitchen and looking into the garage, and the door was splintered and broken open, and we'd been broken into. And I went out in the garage, and I looked at our cars, and the dome lights were on, and they'd gone through all our cars, and unless they were looking for old French fries or Sonic Wacky Pack toy or something, they were pretty disappointed in what they found in there. And then I realized that they'd gotten in, and they'd taken some things from us. And my question in my heart this morning for us is, do we need to wake up because we're being robbed? The enemy is in our house and taken from us, and we don't even realize it. See, I didn't even realize at first what had been taken from me, but soon realized this is what they got from us. John 10:10 says this. Let's look at that verse together. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. This is Jesus talking. And I wonder for many of us, are the open windows or the unlocked doors in your house? As you take this analogy of your house, your relationship with Christ, are there places right now where you are just a setup to be robbed? If you don't know Christ, then yes, your life is a setup for that. And even if you do know Him, there are times when we live like we don't know Him. And we have exposed places in our house, and we are asking the enemy just to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. Look what Psalm says about our relationship with Christ, what our house should be like. But the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. Does that describe your relationship with Christ right now? Do you find Him being a safe place, a place where He is a fortress, there's walls that are impenetrable, that you have a relationship with Him that's so solid and sound that you're finding refuge in Him? Look at the next Psalm. Psalm 18:22, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. As I was preparing for this, I was convicted that I am many times not seeking the Lord like I should. Not being still before Him, not depending on Him to be my fortress and my stronghold and my refuge. That I forget about Him a lot. And so this morning, my heart for you is, and my question for you is, where do you need to wake up because you're being robbed? As you think about this house analogy, your relationship with Christ, where are the unlocked windows, the unlocked doors where the enemy is in your house and you don't even realize it? We're going to take a parallel here to the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is a great study. If you ever get a chance to study the book of Nehemiah, it is a great book on leadership. But we're going to take a specific look at Nehemiah and the action he took when the wall around Jerusalem was broken down. See, the parallel that I want you to make, the walls of your house, as you think about your relationship with Christ, those walls, are they secure because you're finding your refuge in Him? Well, the wall around Jerusalem was a great picture of strength. It was a great picture of a safe place, of refuge, of protection from the enemy. And I wonder about your walls today in your relationship with Christ. What are they like? Are they exposed? Are they vulnerable? Are they chipped? Are they broken? Are they in ruins? What happened with Nehemiah is he was told, and we're not going to look at chapter 1 today, but this would be a great study for you just to go back and look at it. But when Nehemiah finds out that the walls of Jerusalem are broken down, he is so grieved by that. And it says that he wept. And then in humility, he sought God and he prayed and he said, Lord, forgive us for what we've done. And would you please give me favor with the king that I'm under so that I might go and work on these walls? The first thing I want to tell you is to take a look at your own walk with Christ today. And the sin that so easily entangles you and that you're struggling with, does it grieve you? When's the last time you were grieved over sin that you've done before the Lord? And you were just so humble that, Lord, I can't do this life without you. And that you pray, God, would you forgive me and would you use me and work in my life? That's what I love about this first picture of Nehemiah in chapter 1. But we're going to look at chapter 2 here and look at how he handled these broken down and burned walls. The first thing I would tell you is that we need to examine our walls. Nehemiah, as you look in this verse here, let's read that together. It says, by night, I went out through the valley gate towards the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. And then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. You see the work that had to go on here? Nehemiah just didn't take someone's word for it or say, I'm sure the walls are broken down. He went and examined them close. And as you think about that parallel, I want you to think about your walk with Christ. When's the last time you were just still before the Lord and said, Lord, how are the walls of my relationship with you? Are they broken down? Are they in ruins? Is there any area where the thief is coming in and he's stealing and killing and destroying? My contention is this, that we are so busy here and we are so fast-paced that we rarely will be still before the Lord and take a long look at our relationship with Him. I have been so convicted about that this week. I'd ask you that question. When's the last time you were just still before the Lord and said, Lord, where do you want to take ground in my life? Where is the enemy stealing from me? And you want me to have life to the full. And I'm missing out. The analogy I'd use also is my fence in the backyard. My fence in my yard has a serious lean to it. If you look at it like this, it's straight. And I can remember looking at my fence, and the only time that I pay attention to my fence is when it takes a fall. Not long ago, there was a storm that blew up. I mean, it was probably 15, 20 mile an hour winds. No, I'm kidding. It was more like 60, 70 miles an hour. Blew my fence down. And I remember then I started to take note, man, I've got some problems with my fence. You see, if my fence meant more to me, if it was more important to me, then I would have been out there all along strengthening its frame. I would have been out there working on it, preparing for when the storms come. But the only time I paid attention to it was when the storm blew my fence down. Here's my question for you. Are you waiting for the storms of life to come? And that's when you're going to finally take a long look at your relationship with Christ? Are you going to strengthen your frame now? Because here's what the Scripture tells us, that in this world we're going to have trouble. But fear not, that Christ has overcome the world. So what do the walls of your life with Christ, your walk with Him, look like? Do they need to be examined? My contention is yes. Because see, when we take a hit, it's going to expose those walls for what they are. If we have an intimate, strong relationship with Christ, then there can still be joy in the middle of tough trials. The Word tells us that. But if not, then we are going to be rocked and we are going to be so in want because we hadn't strengthened the frame of our relationship with Christ all along the way. The other thing is, I examine my walls, I realize that I've built some false walls. Some walls that look just like the other ones. They look great, but the reality is if I went up to them and I gave them a little push, they would fall over easily. And so I wonder what false walls you might have built. For me, there's an obvious one. Position can be a false wall for me. You may have a position right now that you're in, a place that you'd say, man, this position makes me feel like I'm secure and safe. It might be a position at work, maybe a position, whatever it is that you take stock in. Position for me is being in full-time ministry. I realize that I become lax in my walk with Christ because I'm in full-time ministry. Some of the biggest struggles in my sin life come right after a great retreat or a great time of ministry, because all of a sudden I start to feel like I'm okay. God, I'm doing this for you. And then I leave myself exposed for the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. So as you think about the false walls, what are they? What are the walls that you need to just acknowledge before the Lord and say, Lord, I have built this. I'm trying to find safety and refuge and protection and rest there. And you don't really want me to have it there because it's false. Money is a big one. We all know that. Money is one that challenges. Proverbs 18:11. Look at this verse. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall. Many of us find security in money. We think this is the place that I can find refuge. If I have money in the bank, that I will be safe and secure. And the Lord's going, that wall is not unscalable. You may imagine it to be unscalable, but the enemy can come right over the top of that and have his way. Look around you. We can see countless examples around us, including myself, where I think that if I have enough money in the bank or if I have the right car, that I'm going to be okay and I'm going to be secure. And those fall away quickly. Look at the folks around us who, all of us that have our needs, we're all rich, by the way. And the things that we have, they will never satisfy us. God in His mercy doesn't allow us to be satisfied with those things. And I'm so grateful that He doesn't allow us to find refuge in a false wall like that. So whether it's money, position, could be a relationship. Some of you are thinking that you're single right now. You say, boy, if I just was married to that guy or that girl, that would be a place of security and rest, and I would finally be okay. And that relationship outside a relationship with Christ is a false wall. It can be a blessing. It can be within the walls of your relationship with Christ. But where are you building false walls that you need to just let fall? The second thing I'd challenge us with is we need to recognize the damage. If you look at Nehemiah here again in chapter 2, he said, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire." Nehemiah doesn't go and look at the walls and say, "Man, everything's great." He says, "Look at the trouble we are in." When you sit before the Lord and He begins to show you where your walls are broken down, and He begins to show you where the exposed places are, when He shows you those things, will you sit before Him and just say, "Lord, I'm going to acknowledge those things." Here's my question for us this morning. Where is your life in ruins? Where is the enemy coming in destroyed areas? For men, we all know that pornography is a huge issue. It's a huge place where the enemy is coming in and he is having his way with us. And I want to tell you, if that's an issue for you, let me give you just a gift this morning and say, confess that. Bring that into the light. John 3 talks about how men love darkness, afraid that their deeds will be exposed. Let me encourage you this morning. If you're struggling with that, bring it into the light. The second thing I'd ask you is, what if maybe another place of ruin is you have a secret right now that you won't tell anybody? Secrets kill us. Kill and destroy us. If you have something that you're holding on to, and you're, "Boy, if anybody found out about this, then they would not love me and they would reject me," and all those lies from the enemy. So what are those, a secret right now that you are holding on to that you just need to confess? How about an area that you might be burned? The biggest area that I thought about for our body and for all of us is the area of unforgiveness. You want to suffer the consequence of being burned. Maybe there's people right now in your life that you need to go to and you just need to ask forgiveness from them. Maybe there's folks that you realize they've caused you a lot of pain and you are harboring and you have become so burned up with bitterness. And the enemy is robbing you of your joy, because you're so enraged with that. Well, I would encourage you this morning, think about who those people are and go to them and reconcile. Go to them and ask forgiveness. Go to them and give forgiveness. Well, many of us may say, "Hey, Bron, I'm not feeling like my life's in ruins. I'm not feeling like I have these incredibly burned places." But how about for some of you where the enemy is just chipping away at your wall? As we've been reading in the journey about the people of Israel, we saw that they were on a slow drift. We've been talking about that on our staff. And all of a sudden, they're drifting, 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 and then they make really bad decisions. So where is the enemy right now chipping away at your wall? What are you flirting with right now that you're exposing yourself for him to come in and rob you? For me, a place that I've seen in my own life where the enemy is chipping away and I've become consumed with me is fear. Anybody else struggle with fear in here? Man, I struggle with the what ifs of life. God's convicted me that, man, I spend a lot of time worrying and thinking about what if this happens. And a big struggle for me is in the area of parenting. I've got a seven-year-old, a five-year-old, and a 2.5-year-old, and I'm already thinking about, what if they don't make the right friends? What if they're not good at sports? Some of us are so wrapped in that, up in that. What if they're rejected? What if they stray from the Lord? What if? What if I don't put them in the right place, the right school? What if? And I realize what the enemy's doing there is I get so consumed with that and worried about it that he's robbing me of the rest and peace that he wants for me. Anybody else struggle with insecurity? I think it's one of the biggest issues we got today. And I'm insecure. And when I get insecure, I start thinking about the what ifs. And I quit trusting the Lord and quit putting my faith in Him. And I'm recognizing the enemy's chipping away and going, "Hey, you never know what's going to happen with those boys if you don't do all the right things." And it keeps me from trusting. I feel like it's a list of to-dos rather than trusting in the Lord. What are your what ifs? What are your fears right now that's chipping away at your walls? What would you say those are? And man, confess those to the Lord and say, "Lord, where it leads you to is you just throw up your hands and you have to trust Him even more." Some of you guys that are single, I've talked to a lot of single guys. I know one of the fears for you might be, "Hey, I'm wanting to date this girl, but I'm scared if I start to date, I fear rejection. I fear that I can't lead them. I might not be able to lead them like I want to. And so I just stay away from it because, man, what if I mess up? Or what if it doesn't work out?" That's true for single girls and guys. So I'd encourage you today, man, if that's where you're at, if that's where the enemy's chipping away, or if there's spots where you're beginning to flirt with sin, or you're, you know, like we talked about earlier, pornography starts with just watching, maybe it's commercials that you're dwelling on, maybe it's TV shows, and then it builds and builds and builds. It always starts out with something small, and then pretty soon, it's in your house and robbing from you. The next thing I would challenge you with is this, that we need to rebuild our walls by enlisting others and remembering God's hand on your life. Enlisting others and remembering God. You know what I love here in this passage of Nehemiah again, let's look at that scripture together. It says, come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. You know what I love? He just said, hey, look at the trouble we're in. This is a bad deal. I've examined the walls. I've seen it, but there's hope here, isn't there? He says, come, let us rebuild. And I love the word us there. He doesn't go, hey, I'm going to take care of this. You guys sit around. I'll take care of you. You guys go over there and do your thing. I'm going to come and rebuild, and I'll just be a one-man show here. He says, let us rebuild. He enlists others to help him. A reoccurring theme that I hear with friends that I have that aren't in this body and live in other states, when they begin to share their struggles with me, and we all have struggles, right? And when they begin to share those struggles, as I begin to ask them, I said, okay, you shared that. Who's walking with you? Who's living life with you? Who knows what those struggles are, and how are they spurring you and helping you? And they go, you know, no one really knows. I hear that over and over and over. And I want to tell you, I am so thankful in my own life for the way this body has challenged me to have that. Before I came to Watermark on staff, I did not have that as much as I needed. And I didn't realize it. So over and over, we need to ask others to join us to do that. You know, a great example of someone right now that I think has really been an incredible example to our body is Blake and Rebecca Holmes. You guys may know about Gage, their son. Gage has been diagnosed with leukemia. And if you've been on their blog, you want to be ministered to, you ought to go read their blog about Gage and their life. Hey, it's been honest. It's been incredibly hard. But one thing I've seen in him is first thing he does is he just acknowledges, hey, God, this is all in your control. But the other thing I noticed as I've read the blog is I see comment after comment after comment from people who love the homes. See, they strengthened the frame of their walls by having others in their life a long time ago. They have community in their life. They have people that they've asked to lock arms with them. And as the trouble comes, which it has, man, people have rallied to their side. And I love that picture. I hate what they're going through. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But I've seen the faithfulness of the Lord and how He's intervening. And I have to trust that. Boy, sometimes that's really hard for me. I've left Blake messages and just said, man, I don't know how you're making it, but I know God's meeting you. I trust that. But what I've noticed is that there's so many people rallying around them. If you want to get on a list right now to bring them dinner, some of you have done that, 2010. That's the next time you're going to be able to bring them dinner, pretty much. I got on there and I was like, honey, there's a Wednesday at 2009. We can get it. It is amazing how many people have rallied around them. And I love that picture. A long time ago, they enlisted others to be with them. In Nehemiah, there's a great picture in the fourth chapter of that. Right at this time, what had happened, they had got about halfway, the walls were about halfway built. And this is a time, you guys know, as you're in your walk with Christ, if you begin to rebuild or you begin to look at these exposed places, what's going to happen is you're going to start to rebuild your walls, you're going to start walking with Christ again, and then about halfway, you're going to get tired. And that was what was going on here. And they were getting persecuted by folks around, they were getting made fun of. People were telling them, you're going to get attacked from every side, you might as well give up. And I love what Nehemiah does here. He says, then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. You ever felt like that? People are going, hey man, you try to really pursue Christ, I'm telling you, you're not going to make it. You won't stay following Christ. You'll give up. You'll be just like me. Pretty soon you'll be diving back into this stuff with me. He says, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall, at the exposed places, posting them by families with swords, spears, and bows. That is what is happening right now with the homes. An exposed place for them is just the pain that they're going through, struggling with their son who has leukemia. What are your exposed places? Does anybody know what those are? Does anybody know what your sin struggles are? The guys in my community know that, hey, this is where the enemy loves to rob me, loves to steal. Have you thought about that? Where would the enemy attack you? What are the exposed places and who knows them? Who is stationed at your wall? Man, I need that more and more. And you know, when I think about people being stationed at your wall, it's more than just asking you the 10 questions. And accountability is a word we throw around a lot and we use that. It's more than that. It's people that we're going to celebrate when you're doing great. It's people who are going to pray for you specifically in the areas that you're struggling. It's people who are going to encourage you and spur you on. It's not just people who are going to find you out. And I want to tell you a place that I think the enemy is really robbing us is that we have this policy right now in accountability that if you don't ask me specifically, I don't have to tell you. That is a lie from the enemy. Let me tell you, be forthright. Be someone who is real about your struggles. Bring it to the group, man. Bring it to people who are for you and love you and want to pray for you. So who is stationed at your wall? Here's what I think it starts with. It starts with us being real. We talk about that a lot, being authentic here and being real. And so the first thing I would tell you is to bring it to the Lord. First thing, go to Him and just say, Lord, You're not surprised by this. You know the areas that I struggle with. You know where the enemy is robbing me. And I just want to confess that to You and ask You to help me turn from it. Second thing is to tell others where you're vulnerable. Spend some time. I spent some time this week journaling just going, Lord, where am I vulnerable? Where are those spots that I need to tell others about? The third thing, and this is a hard one for me, be quick to confess and confess often. I'm okay with that first thing to confess, but then I don't want to come back to it. You ever been in those accountability times when you're going, yeah, I probably should be telling them about what's happened again. But it's really hard. And maybe, I'm sure they got a lot of struggles. It's third time tonight. I don't want to tell them. I've been there lots of times. And I just need to keep fresh confessing the Lord and confessing to others, hey, here's my struggles. The next thing is willing to take counsel. Some of us talk about community. I do. And sometimes when I get the counsel that I don't really want to hear, I'm like, maybe y'all are misunderstanding what's going on here. Maybe you're not hearing right. And so I would just tell you, man, take the counsel. And that means listen. And if everybody in your group is going, hey, this is the way you should go, this is the way it should roll out for you, and you're like, yeah, I think you're really missing it, you need to go back and revisit that again. Willing to take counsel means that you'll listen and you'll take the challenge that they're giving you. And the last thing is just take action. See, if we recognize the damage and we enlist others and all those things, and then when people give us a plan or we learn from God's Word and He says, go, and we just say, I'll get around to that sometime. What I love about Nehemiah and the picture here is he gets after it. Man, he goes after the walls. He begins enlisting others and they begin rebuilding that wall and people are coming against him the whole time. And he stays in there and stays after it. Last thing is that, or the thing here is remember God's hand. I love in this verse right after 17, he talks about look what's happened. And then look at this next verse, the second part of it. It says, I also told them about the gracious hand of God upon me and what the king had said to me. When's the last time you just sat with the Lord and said, Lord, I'm just going to write down all of the ways You've worked in my life. I'm just going to remember. See, our problem is we forget what God's done. When the next challenge comes, we forget how He worked in the last one. What I love about Nehemiah here is he tells them, hey, God's already given me favor with the king. He's already allowed me to be here. That's a miracle in itself. And so we remember God's hand. The fact that some of you are maybe here this morning, maybe God's hand, that He brought you here to really take a look at your life. Maybe some of you that don't know Christ, He's going, I want to know you. And so His hand's at work right now that you're here this morning. You know what? I forget the Lord a lot. And I have to be still and go, Lord, this is the way You worked. I love to look back through my journal and look at the way God's worked. Y'all ever do that? Y'all ever take time just to look back and go, God, remember how frustrated I was there and how You gave me rest? Remember how I made a really bad decision there and You met me in that place? When's the last time you did that? Remembered God's hand. The last thing is this. Recognize the enemy's schemes. Man, here's what you need to know. When you begin to rebuild and you begin to work on your relationship with Christ, the enemy is not going to like it. He's going to try to move you to all those other places. He's going to try to move you to ignore it. He's going to try to move you to passivity. He's going to try to move you to all these places so that he can continue to be in your house and rob from you. Look at Nehemiah 4, 1 and 2. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" You know, the greatest scheme of the enemy is when you begin to really look at your walk with Christ, he's going to try to fill you with hopelessness. He's going to say, "Oh man, the Lord would never take you back. The Lord would never want to work with you because your stones are just burned up and ruined. Your walls are broken down. How can God love you?" He wants to leave you in a place of no hope. It's a great scheme from the enemy, but one that we need to realize is not true. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. This is how the enemy works. He is not happy when we begin to rebuild these walls, when we begin to really look at our relationship with Christ and strengthen the frame. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I love that. Be self-controlled and alert. Many times I'm asleep when the thief is in my house. And I need to be challenged to be alert and recognize what God wants to do. Is that the way you describe yourself right now? Man, I'm self-sure, I'm alert, I'm looking for where the enemy is, and I'm chasing after the Lord. Here's what I think happens for many of us. In our relationship with Christ, what we do is we try to stay away from sin, we try to run away from all the stuff the world has, but we don't run to Christ. And man, it makes you tired. You're only going to be able to stay away from that for so long. If you don't strengthen your walk with Christ and begin, "Lord, I'm not just going to flee from sin. I'm going to run to you and grab onto you." That's where we miss it. That's where I miss it. But if I can just keep the stuff away from that I don't want to look at, then I'll be okay. And I think that's a lie from the enemy. Let me tell you, the other things that the enemy will do to hinder your rebuilding. Here's three things. And I'm going to give you some quotes in this area. One is, pride is going to creep in there. You're going to go, "Man, I don't really need to take a look at this." Here's some of the quotes of someone who struggles with pride, and I'm one of them. It says, "I don't want to be convicted, humbled. I don't want to have to face my failures. You know, I don't want to have to do that. I'll just kind of keep going to church every Sunday and kind of going through the motions. But I don't want to have to face them." Another issue that will hinder you from rebuilding is passivity, and we talked about that a little bit this morning. I can be a really passive man. And God has really convicted me there. Here's what some quotes from a passive person. You're taking this thing too far. Todd told me the other day that someone told him that he was using Scripture too much. Okay, well, I don't really get that one. But that's what happened. You know what? Just be passive. You don't need to know all that Scripture. You don't need to be quoting that and talking about it. You don't need to be studying God's Word. And just relax. That's what a passive person does. How about this? Just, "I'm a good guy or good girl for the most part. I'm better than others." You've kind of taken this passive role that you look around and you go, "I can always find somebody that's not doing quite as good as I am." That's not the standard the Lord has for us. The last thing is deception. Just, where are you being deceived? Where are you buying a lie? You got to write that down. Where am I buying a lie right now in my walk or my lack of walk? Here's what a person that's being deceived might say. They said, "This is just how I am. God is growing tired of my same old prayers of forgiveness." You ever feel like that? And if I come to Him again with this, He's got to be just so tired of that. That's deceiving. That's deception from the enemy. "If people really knew me, they wouldn't love me." Well, if those are the people that you're hanging with, those who really are a friend to you will love you even through the hard times. And I want to be that kind of a friend. So don't buy the lie that if people really knew, if I brought this secret out, I wouldn't be loved. Here's the bottom line. This is going to be a news flash for you. Okay? It all ends and begins with Christ. Look at John 10:9. I love this verse, right before the verse we started with. Jesus said this, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and he'll find pasture." I love that verse. First of all, it tells me that I can be saved through Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know Him, all you have to do is put your trust in Jesus Christ and what He's already done for you, His death and resurrection, and you can find life. I love this picture. He will come in and go out. He'll have direction. He'll have freedom. See, the world tells us that we're locked down by the Scripture. The reality is, our relationship with Christ frees us up, so you'll have freedom. Are you tired of being robbed from the freedom Christ wants for you? And then in fine pasture. If a sheep finds pasture, they find life. They find their needs are met and they can live if they find pasture. So security, direction, freedom, and life. So here's the recap real quick. First thing I would tell you is take time to look. Ask yourself, when's the last time I took time to look at the walls of my relationship with Christ? At my house, so to speak. Second thing is don't ignore the damage. Boy, if there's pain there, don't just ignore it. Say, I'll be okay. I'll just keep going through the motions, keep rolling. Man, get with others. Confess that to others. Confess that to the Lord. Our friends on Monday night at CR will call it taking inventory. Don't ignore it. I'll tell you, that's what we all need to do that. Third thing is pursue Christ and enlist others. Who's stationed at your wall? Who are you going to ask to be there for you, to help you in your times of need, which we all have and are coming for all of us? And the fourth thing is just be ready for opposition. Don't be surprised when it gets tough. Don't be surprised if the enemy doesn't want you to take a long look. He wants you to stay busy. He wants you to keep rolling. And he wants to rob you. He wants to devour you. The show that is on, there's a show on Discovery Channel called It Takes a Thief. And this show is former convicts, former guys who were thieves. And they get with people and they tell you, hey, we're going to come rob your house because you are so vulnerable. And these people don't believe, and they say, in the next few weeks, we're going to come rob you. And you won't even know it. And the tagline for that show is this. It says, because sometimes you have to rob a person blind to open their eyes. You know what? I hope that's not what has to happen for us. That we have to be so, the enemy has to come in and take from us and rob us blind for us to go, oh my goodness, I need to pay attention to my walk with Christ. I need to see where the vulnerable place is. I need to bring others in. So as you sit before the Lord this week, man, ask Him where those places are. Ask Him where the enemy is robbing you blind. Let me pray. Lord, I thank You for this morning. Lord, I thank You for the study in my own life this week, You showing me where I am letting the enemy in my house. And he's taken from me, and You want me to have life to the full. And that life is not about material stuff. It is about me having more of Your presence and finding a mighty fortress, a refuge in You. So Lord, would You show us this week? Would You help us to really take the time and do the work of examining the walls of our relationship with Christ? And Lord, if there's people here who don't know You, that maybe today You would convict their hearts that they need to run to the name of the Lord. It's a strong tower, and they can run into it and be safe. Would You open our eyes? Would You change us? In Jesus' name, amen. I love the words of that song, "The more that I look, the more I see You lead me to the truth." Will you take time to take a long look this week? Recognize where the enemy is robbing you. That's my prayer for you and for me and for this body, that we would turn more and more to the Savior. And if you don't know Him today, we'd love to talk to you about just how He opened our eyes to who He is and how we have a relationship with Him and how you can too. So we'd love to talk to you this morning about that. I want you to have a great week rebuilding your walls, examining your walls, and shoring up the foundation you have in Christ. See you next week.